treat. But also Halloween sometimes encourages people a little bit to seek out the dark side, and there's some dangers involved with being involved in the occult activities and practices, and sometimes people in the church don't even realize that, and they say it's all right to dabble in some of those things. So I wanted to share with you today some of the dangers of occult involvement. And I think in our society today, what's evil used to be considered evil is being portrayed as good. There's a lot of movies, there's a lot of shows where there's good witches, right? They're not bad witches. They're even some good vampires versus some bad vampires. And there's always that fascination. I put on your outline in 2 Corinthians 11:14, it says, Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. So we decorate ourselves up, or we try to become a costume or something different, probably. A lot of times, maybe you're a little bit on the dark side when we want to be some sort of scary thing or something on Halloween, but Satan's going to decorate himself up, or he's going to try to masquerade not as something that's evil, but something like an angel. He's not putting on a red tail and horns. He's not going to be a scary monster that's going to try to attack somebody. He's going to be something that people want to move towards, and they're going to think it's such a great thing, and it's going to be glorified. And so that's kind of what our society has done to some extent, you know, to looking towards these occult things is becoming more and more attractive, and a lot of people are getting trapped into that. I wanted to begin message a little bit of talking about what my definition of occult would be with you. Occult activities are any dealings with the world of spirits or of supernormal forces which are not oriented on Jesus or revealed in the Bible as something that we should be pursuing. Some examples would be seances, all forms of communicating with the dead, which some people try to do that, PSI, ESP, all forms of supernatural psychic phenomena, real magic or black magic is what, you know, not just a sleight of hand people do as tricks, that type of thing, but really seeking sort of a supernatural magic, fortune telling, casting of spells, wearing of charms, the use of Ouija boards, astrology, and etc. I think as kids, most of the time, if you're like me, you dreamed about having superpowers. Did you ever dream about that? Wanting to have this extra special strength or being a superhero. It's still the superhero movies that are the most selling at the box office. Kids are still fascinated by that. There's something about trying to get to the unknown and tapping into some power that hasn't been seen or used before. And so it's kind of a natural inclination to be moving in those directions. But God warns us in His Word not to pursue such things because they're very dangerous and they could lead to our destruction. So what I want to share with us this morning is, why is psychic or occult activity harmful? Why should we be warned about it, and what should we do to maybe warn our kids or grandkids about it? And number one, occult activity rejects God's will for us. Occult practice is hazardous because it's a violation of the will of God and because God forbids it as an abomination. So I want to read Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 12. It's not something I'm saying, but this is what God says. So we need to take it seriously. When you enter the land the Lord your God has given you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, which they did in their idol worship sometimes, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. So occult practices, then, I put on your outline, A, it's a violation of God's law. Now, just because we don't know it's not God's law doesn't mean that it isn't. I mean, it still is God's law, and even if we're not aware of it, it's still going to have bad consequences. So if you're delving into these things or playing with these things, you're actually setting yourself up against God. There's something about all of a sudden you become an enemy of God because you're siding with Satan and his demons. And so any of that is strictly forbidden by God. B, it's an abomination to God. It's detestable in his sight. And he even says it compares to burning your son and daughter in a fire. Now, that seems pretty strong language. I mean, but he puts it in the same place. It's like idol worship, doing these other things. And so it's not something that's, oh, no big deal. or doesn't really matter to God. It's something that's very detestable to him. He hates it, and he's going to judge it. And so for that reason alone, we should avoid those things, because then they're dangerous. And I asked myself, well, why would God be so upset about these things? And I put on your outline for you, because, number one there, it belittles God and it exalts man. So consulting mediums and tea leaves or fortune cookies and horoscopes and crystal balls and palmists, any of these oracles beyond God's word is wrong, because it belittles God as an inadequate revealer of mysteries. It says that God is either unable or he's unwilling to tell me all that's good for me to know. Therefore, he lacks power or goodness to help me. And so I will take matters into my own hands. And so, therefore, if people really love God, they need to avoid that. It's really exactly the same thing that happened in the Garden of Eden. Remember when Satan, as the angel of light, comes to Eve and he says, eat this apple. And God says, no, you can have all the other fruit, but not that one. He says, if you eat this one, you're going to have special knowledge. You're going to be like God. God doesn't have your best in mind. There's something greater for you. There's something more exciting out there, more pleasurable if you go that way. And so the rebellion that she takes and goes towards that is exactly the same rebellion that happens when you're involved in occult activities. God's not good enough. He's not giving me direction enough in my life. I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to see find something better, something more exciting, more powerful. God's not being adequate for me. And so that really angers God. He's a jealous God. He doesn't want us to worship other things but him. Which brings us to the next point, number two there, is that it's actually an act of spiritual adultery against God. Leviticus 20, verse 6 says, if a person turns to mediums and wizards, he's playing the harlot or the adulterer after them. And he said, I'll set my face against that person. So consulting mediums is like committing adultery against God, because Jesus Christ is the husband of the church. He's God's fullest revelation. All that we need to know and all the power which is good for us to have comes through him and the word. So when we go after other secret oracles and psychic powers, we say in effect that our husband is unsatisfactory to us and we must seek lovers elsewhere. It's rebelling against the sovereignty of God. It belittles his revelation, and it also exalts human pride. And it's easy to get caught up in, because oftentimes we do those little things because we don't want to follow God, right? So I'm going to date this person. You ever do that? You know, let's get this eight ball and shake and see what the answer should be. Or, I know whether I should be involved in this relationship or not, let me open up the fortune cookies and pull out the thing, you know. Instead of going to God's word and reading it and saying, well, this isn't the kind of person God wants me with. This isn't the right path I should take. We turn to those other things. Maybe I'll call a psychic and see what they say. But really what we want to do is we just find somebody to justify what we want. You know, you ever use those little paper things? You know, you go back and forth in those numbers when you're a kid and until it comes the right thing. Or he loves me not until I get to, I'll do it enough times till I get the answer that I want. And so in a sense, we've already made our mind. We want to rebel against God. We don't want to find his way, but we use these other little practices to do what we want to do. And so it becomes almost an act of rebellion against God, and it's very disgusting to him. So the first reason that we shouldn't, and it's dangerous for us to get involved in those things, is because God forbids it. And we don't even understand all the reasons why, but we know it's a rebellious act against him. And it's almost like committing adultery against him and saying that we need somebody else instead of him in our life to give us guidance. A second reason that we should avoid those things is because we are not equipped for encounters with occult realities. It says in Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We're fallen creatures. We're not spiritual beings. We don't even know what we're getting into. And you open up the door to the spiritual darkness and those powerful wickedness in high places, you aren't equipped to handle them. I put on your outline for you, our knowledge under A of the spirit world is limited. We don't know what powers we're dealing with. And B, our ability to recognize evil and to fight it off is minimal. We're living in very dangerous territory. I haven't been involved in occult activities myself. I've stayed away from them. I was taught as a kid to stay away from them, but I have dealt with some people who were. I've talked with you about the witch that I had dealt with next door, the church there in Hastings, and I wanted to read a personal account of a testimony of a girl who was in her junior high and kind of innocently got involved in that and some of the results that came. And maybe you'll hear some of these things that you've known other people dealt with that really shows the dangers of playing with those type of things. She said, I attended Catholic school through eighth grade. It was while I was in junior high that I was lured by a morbid curiosity for all things supernatural. But not what was exclusive to sanctity and holiness. I wanted to delve into the abyss of the unknown, to witness levitation, you know, where things would just rise by themselves, and be given the gift of clairvoyance. I wanted a medium to heal my past and a psychic to foretell my future. I looked at astrology as science, and I justified the Ouija board and other party games as being harmless fun, but I always went home afterward and continued to dabble. My fascination with the spirit world intensified as I read books about spooks, ghosts, and hauntings. It was a secret life in which darkness abided, but I viewed it as a form of light, enlightenment. The more I experienced, the more I craved another experience. It was a spiraling into a diabolical realm of which I had somehow become unaware. But when the spiritual happenings crept in my life, slowly at first, and then with more overtly, I wondered if I had been duped into the world's view of spirituality rather than the true spirituality of a personal God alone. To illustrate some examples, I experienced diabolical nightmares on a regular basis. And over time, they were accompanied by my bed shaking violently. My brother was terrorized in his bedroom by being levitated, as was my father. Every member of my family heard footsteps in the house when no one was home, doors slamming upstairs, and voices calling each person's name. When I saw how my family was suffering, shame swept over me, and I confessed to my parents what I had been doing while at friends' houses for sleepovers. In turn, they encouraged me to actually go to confession and renounce this evil. What a novel idea. I obeyed and I discovered the portal to authentic healing and holiness rather than the macrobay fascination with the unknown. Have you ever heard of people having those type of experiences and wondering whether it's real? It was the same thing with this witch. She had called me, and because her kids were seeing things and hearing things in the house and doing that. The history of the occult reveals that entering into the spirit world is equivalent to walking unprotected on a minefield without knowledge of the number or location of the mines. We wouldn't do that in a physical realm, would we? And yet we do that in a spiritual realm, not realizing what might happen and might come against us. It's been said that it also, and the occult activity could be compared to an AIDS virus, another something that we're not prepared to deal with. In AIDS, one is exposed to something deadly. Infection occurs through activity that is exciting and pleasurable and often initially full of promise. And infected persons can be symptomless for years, unaware of the death sentence that they carry inwardly. The disease is spreading rapidly, and most people refuse to believe they can be infected, and human ignorance concerning the exact nature of the illness is vast. There's more witches actually coming out. It's a big growing thing. That people want to be involved in witchcraft and they want to seek those things, but they're not realizing how dangerous it is. Open yourself up to a spiritual evil realm that you don't even understand. So, first of all, we should avoid it because God forbids it. Secondly, because it's very dangerous and we're not equipped to handle that spiritual realm. And thirdly, we should avoid that involvement because occult practices introduce people to spiritual entities that seek their destruction. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You know, he pretends to be the angel of light, but he wants to devour you. And he does that through confusion. And the more you give yourself over, you don't realize that it's happening and you don't even see the truth. And you're blocked by the truth. So I put some things on your outline for you here. A, experimenting with occult practices invites Satan into your life. People who have dealt with people who are demon-possessed say it often started by playing with some of those things. You know, and you get caught into them. And it's like inviting God. It's like opening your door and saying, come on in, Satan. Why don't you come play in my house for a while? Why don't you try to get a foothold with me? That's something you don't want to do. You know, and I think everybody's fascinated by those little things, and we think that it's not a big deal. And it's kind of like gambling. I won't get caught up in gambling. I can do a few gambling things here and buy those cards. I can drop in the casino every other week, you know, and you get more and more fascinated by it, and you get more anticipation of something that's going to be happening, and you get pulled into it. Same thing with dabbling in the spiritual realm like that. It becomes addictive, and you seek deeper experiences and can get into yourself more and more problems. B, occult practices could lead to demon oppression of you or those around you. It's not just about you. Just like this testimony, I mean, this girl was involved in that, right, and playing those games. Her brother was affected in the house. Her mom and dad were affected in the house, and they had nothing to do with it. They weren't even involved, yet the spirits called out their name, levitated their bed. And so we need to realize that things that we do can influence other people around us, can bring oppression upon other people in our lives as well. And C, Satan's influence in your life through seemingly harmless games could destroy your faith in God, could cause you to lose your soul. Why? Because it causes you to believe a lie. It makes you an enemy of God. Satan becomes your master, and he leads you blindfolded down the path to destruction. You don't even realize it, that's what you're getting into. So here, by way of application, first point, don't play around with things associated with occult practices. And tell your kids that. We don't need to be playing with those things. They may seem exciting. It's just a party game. But let's not pursue those things. Second point, warn your children about the dangers of pursuing encounters with the spiritual realm of darkness. And I would say, from my own experience, don't just shut the door on everything and tell them they can't go to this movie, you can't read that book if they're doing it in school. That's not the way to do it. If you just shut the door on anything spiritual, they're going to want to go that way. They're going to pursue it. You go to the movies with them. You know, I mean, any Disney movie has a lot of good and darkness. I mean, you talk about the good witches or that. You know, those people look good, but you know, there are some that are bad. There are some that seek, and they're powered by Satan. They're doing these things that they shouldn't do. We need to stay away from that. And so we need to sort out the culture. We need to sort out those things, even Halloween. Okay, these are some things that we do, but, you know, maybe some of these we don't need to do. One of the things we try to teach our kids, you don't need to live in fear. I like to go to the spook house and things like that when I was a teen. But I didn't want my kids to be overly afraid because I think God doesn't want us to live in fear. You know, so there's some points that you want to stay away from the gory stuff and the really scary stuff. And I mean, it's different at what people can do and how they handle it. My parents never even let me dress up as a witch. Now, a lot of times, you know, a lot of people do that. It doesn't bother them, and that's fine. You know, school teachers do. But I think it's important that as you talk about those things, you're honest and saying, that's fun. We're having fun here. But watch out for the dark side. Watch out for some of those ones that you watch on TV that want to encourage you to do spells or seek out these different things, because those things could be negative to you. So don't close the door, but be open and talk with them about those things to your kids. Last one, which I would really impress upon you, is don't place your faith in wisdom of advice of psychics, but place your faith in solely on the truthfulness of God's word, trusting him to lead your life. Saul got in trouble with that. Other people in the Bible got in trouble with that because maybe God's spirit was withdrawn, they weren't following him, and they shouldn't. God's judgment came upon them. It's a more, it's bigger thing. You're going to see advertisements on TV all the time now, right, about psychics. Call them. They can give you good direction for your life. And, well, why don't I just do that? Because God says it's an abomination to me. You're not trusting me. You're turning to someone else. Well, we need to put our faith in God and trust him to lead and trust his word to lead us and not in the wisdom of man or some psychics who are trying to seek power from some earthly realm. And I just want to say there is power in those things, and Satan will do those things and confuse you, even seeking the death, you know, or talking to people beyond the grave. Satan can use those things, and he can make voices, and he can introduce you to things that you shouldn't be introduced to in those ways. And I would also say, excuse me, if you've been involved in some of those things and you feel like there's some oppression upon you because of that, then get together with people and pray about it. Denounce it. You know, say, we don't want that. In the name of Jesus, cast it out. I've gone to people's houses and I prayed at their houses for Satan to leave them alone and get away, because he doesn't have authority over Jesus' name, and it can be conquered. Just like this girl confessed it and she renounced it and she found answers. So we don't need to be afraid of that, because he who's with us is greater than he who's in the world. And we can use Jesus' name and power to set people free. So that's just kind of a background that we need to help people with. I want to just, as we wrap up, we're just going to close in prayer, and I'm going to keep a long time, but maybe somebody has some questions or Maybe some of that was confusing to you. I wanted to open up if you had a question or if you had something that you've been involved in, you know, that you wanted to share with us. In just a couple minutes, we can do that too. Yeah.